Good morning. Welcome to the Lead On Conference and our first breakout session for the day. How's everybody doing so far? Are we all downstairs? Isn't it like awesome being around the energy of 5,000 women and a lot of great men? Not 5,000, but a lot of great men. Well, my name is Jeannie Bradford and I'm a founding principal of TC Gen, which is a management consulting firm based here in Silicon Valley. And I'll be your host for this session, and I'd like to, on behalf of Watermark, I'd like to invite, to welcome you to this great session. I'm really excited. How many of you stopped by the Watermark booth on your way in today? How many of you have never heard of Watermark before you came today? Awesome. This is an opportunity. Well, I have to tell you, it's been my pleasure and my privilege to be a member of Watermark for about 7 years now and currently chair their Strategic Development Board. It's an amazing organization of executive women, and this is just one of the things that this is a new conference for us, and we're just thrilled with the turnout. But I would really encourage you in the exhibit hall to stop by the Watermark booth. They really are all about empowering women to make their mark in their companies, in their careers, and in their communities. And we would love to have you become part of the Watermark community. So without further ado, I really want to welcome you to today's session on how to use body language to influence human behavior and enhance your presence. You know, I was just thrilled when I was asked to host this session. I said, yes, I would host a session. And then I found out this was about body language, and all of a sudden I became instantly self-conscious. That, oh, my God, here I am in front of all these people, and it's about body language. So I think we all have something to learn here, so you know, just get out your best power stances here, and I think it's going to be a great session. So let me just read a little bit about the session, and then we'll introduce Janine. So today's session, it's effective application of rapport building and people reading skills are essential to succeed in today's world. Leaders with presence have the ability to influence others through interpersonal relationships, are open to meeting new people, and can establish rapport and find a way to connect with others. Award-winning human lie detector and communication expert Janine Driver will help you better understand the impact of your nonverbal and verbal communications on others. Through use of her cutting-edge new body language strategies, you'll learn how to read others' hidden emotions and build better relationships to ultimately enhance your presence, improve your business impact, and expand your networks both in the workplace and in life. You know, I have this really awesome bio that the conference organizer sent me to introduce Janine, but I've just spent some time talking with her. I think she's dynamic and awesome, and all my self-consciousness aside, I am just going to, instead of reading a long bio, I am just going to let you hear what NBC Today Show has to say about Janine. So help me welcome Janine Driver.
All of a sudden you say something and my face stays here, but my body shifts away. Right? Subconsciously, I want out. I face an exit, so I want out. I'm done with you, Tony.
Disgust is this. My nose is wrinkled, and that, you can't hide.
Okay, so what is a body language educator, and where does that come from, this idea?
Well, I'm a body language expert. What I mean by that is I've trained with Dr. Paul Ekman, Dr. Mark Frank, some of the leading psychologists. I've used these skills that psychology has explored, what do different gestures mean, body language.
And how people react to this.
I like you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Janine, for more information out about her book, You Say More Than You Think, go to wendyshow.com, and everybody in the studio audience is going home with the copy.
He said, I don't really talk to the person. He knows her name is Celia, and now he's saying, I don't even know the person. This is called distancing language. This is what people do when they don't want to be associated to the lie that they're about to tell you or the crime that they committed. They'll say the person or the child or that woman because it's creating distance.
Janine Driver, force of nature. What is the funniest thing that men do that they don't know they do?
They check out their fingernails.
So they check out their fingernails?
Yes, yes. Before they go on a date, if they really like a woman, what they'll do is they'll check out, make sure that their cuticles look great and their fingers look wonderful.
Isn't that funny?
That is weird. Okay, what do women do?
So women will play with our hair subtly, you know.
Yeah.
We might touch our thigh. We'll sexily, like, uncross our legs.
Right.
Right, not Sharon Stone-ish, but, you know. But we'll uncross our legs.
If actions speak louder than words, then what are you saying with your body? Well, in her new best-selling book, You Say More Than You Think, former investigator Janine Driver says you can change the way you're perceived and get what you want using her 7-day new body language plan. Janine, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Good to have you here. Now, during your 16 years of investigative training, you had a high security clearances. How difficult was it to perceive what somebody's body language would mean?
It can be really challenging. For me, I'm throwing you in jail, or I'm teaching cops how to tell if bad guys are lying. I can't do it because you touch your nose, say, to the judge, he touched his nose, he's lying, or put his hand in his pocket, he's lying. So it's all about baselining, and what is someone's baseline, and you're looking for when someone deviates from that baseline.
Boardroom meeting. Let's go to this. So this is some interesting stuff here. You're talking about steepling.
Yes. So steepling right here, what we're going to see is this man is doing what's called a handgun steeple, which says he's about to kill her dead. Right?
She doesn't even know she's got it coming.
She's doing a more traditional steeple where this is what we see Donald Trump often do in the boardroom.
Right.
By looking at this picture, we know without a doubt she's the boss. He is going to kill all chances of success. Look at these guys. Very open, open, open.
So that's good?
This is the troublemaker.
He's bad.
Troublemaker.
He's bad.
Watch what happens now. So he's going to all of a sudden start talking, and he's going to be even more aggressive. When you see someone pull out this handgun steeple, we know there's more trouble to come.
Mm-hmm.
In a second, here we go. Look at, bam, palm down gestures. Look at this, pushing her away.
Oh.
Push, push, push. What does she do?
First he kills her, then he pushes her away.
She crosses her arms.
Uh-huh.
You have just backed down your supervisor.
Oh,
this
bad.
Move right here is the kiss of death.
Dead man walking.
And it's a cross to body language, looking for this deviation in the body language. A huge one is our belly button. I call this the belly button rule. We face our belly button towards people we like, admire, and trust. When you confront the liar in your life, if you confront the liar in your life, and Dr. Oz is confronting me if I've cheated, all of a sudden, the liar will turn their body, give you what's called the cold shoulder, and their belly button faces a door and exit. Because subconsciously, they want out of there. This is
Are you guys
what,
taking notes down, by the way? This is good stuff.
I've dubbed this naval intelligence. Naval intelligence. Here's another one, shoulder shrug. And the shoulder shrug cancels their message. A definitive statement should never have a shoulder shrug. This is uncertainty. And when the two don't connect, the verbal and the nonverbal, you always have to believe the nonverbal. I train the CIA and the FBI how to get child molesters, gun dealers off the street, and it's the same skills that we're using with telling if our husbands are lying. The body language is important. Everything from the handshake to where you look on someone's face to how you sit.
Interrogators know what to look for when a suspect is lying. It begins with unconscious signals that we all give off when we're being deceptive. Interrogators call them a person's tells.
Everyone has a different tell, just like in poker. You figure out what people's tells are.
Janine Driver trains interrogators to keep a close eye on gestures and posture. Anything out of place can be a sign of deception.
We all know our tells of our children and of our best friends or our mother. And it's the same exact thing, but cops have to do it in a short amount of time with a stranger. I always come in from the back because usually the front row people like when I analyze these people hiding out back here. So front row people, want me to analyze the people hiding out in the back? Say yes, Janine. Okay, let's start with this woman right here. This woman is either important or she thinks she's important. What you can't see is that her feet are stretched out in front of her. This is very alpha person would make this move. It's like she's a dog in heat. She's peed in the perimeter and marked her territory. Sir, if you smell something funny, we know where it's coming from. We take up space when we own our space. So we see her feet sticking out. Let's see, what else do I have? A lot of powerful people. Let's see. People coming in the back. I love the people standing up. Power, 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 power. Look at them. They're like, I need to know what's going on over here. All right. Let's see. I'm looking for a very special move, and I'm not seeing anyone do it. It's got to be too early in the morning. So I'm going to give it to you right now. Do you want a special move right now? Say yes, Janine. Great. Everybody elbow pop it. Put your elbow over the chair, and look at the person next to you and say, I got this. I got this. Wouldn't you agree that for many women, we have more power than we think we have? Wouldn't it be great if after today, you knew what you were saying without saying a word? And every time you are talking to someone, either, whether in your family or in a business event, you'll never, ever, ever again have to hear, there was a disconnect. I just don't believe you. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know those moments you walk home and you say to your significant other, I wish I had said this. I wish I had not said this. Right? We either go either way. I wish I had spoken up. I wish I had taken action. Our body language could be sabotaging our results. Don't you want to be the best version of you? Yes. Say yes, Janine. Yes. Great. Great. I want everyone right now, I want everyone to grab your throat, and I want you to look at the person next to you and say, I'll take care of this on Monday. Would you trust your business with this person? It's the number one move women make when we are stressed and anxious. We do it all the time. Now you can no longer unnotice it. You cannot unnotice something. You can no longer not realize you're doing this when you're stressed. You know what the guys do? The guys do this one. Okay, Monday? Okay, let me think about it. Your total pain in my neck. Okay, got it. Right here. Or the men will let the hot air out of their collars. But this is our go-to move. Would you like a quick fix right out of the gate? Instead of doing this, you notice you're doing it, and you're like, oh, crash and burn, crash and burn. I'm grabbing my throat. What do I do? Would you like the fix? Ready? Here it is. Grab your chin. Repeat after me. When you grab your chin, you're about to win. Look at the person next to you. Say, I'll take care of this on Monday. How cool is that? You don't even have to go back and get a PhD, you know? Just do this. Now, I don't want you going back into your offices, into your homes like this. Hello, everybody. I'm back. I'm more powerful than I used to be. I wish I could tell you what it was, but it was a women conference only kind of thing. This is one tool to put in your communication toolbox when you need it. When you realize you're crashing and burning, you realize, oh, I'm going into fight or flight here. I'm a little nervous. And you start to notice you're literally grabbing your throat. Go from the throat grab to right here in seconds. You'll change your perceived value. Some of body language is an illusion. Let me repeat that. Some of body language is an illusion. We have what's called perceived value. For the people that are in this room, because your friend made you come, and your friend's like, I totally don't even believe in body language. And your friend's like, I don't give a shit, you're coming with me. To that friend that doesn't believe, you are right. Because a lot of body language is perceived value. There's no scientific research that backs up that this means power and authority. Why do I say when you grab your chin, you're about to win? Because it's anchored to successful people who do that move under high stress and anxiety. Does that make sense? Great. My life's mission, my job, is to inspire you to look at the world in a different way. Imagine the impact that's going to have on your life when I'm able to do that for you. Now, I'm going to put some of the guys to a test in here. So I have a guy volunteer over here, this very handsome guy in the purple tie. What's your name, sir? Stuart, come on up. Round of applause for Stuart. I need another guy that's willing to play with a powerful alpha female up here. Who's got the guts? Are you sitting next to a guy? There's two guys hiding out in that corner. So point out, there you go, sir. You made eye contact with me. It's a go. It's a round of applause as we get our second volunteer. Come on up. Yeah, can you get on up over here? What's your name?
Brian.
Brian?
Brian Tipper.
Janine Driver. Nice to meet you, Brian. Oh, look at that. Double. You see this hand hug you just did? Very political, right? I immediately know. I'm a Boston girl. I know he's not from Boston. Where are you from?
Oakland, California.
Yeah, there you go, right? So here you go. Give me that hand hug again. What can I do to take some power back?
Hand on the shoulder.
So put my hand on my shoulder. Now we look like we're going to the prom, right? So put my hand on his hand like this. Now we look like we're doing this game. All right. This right here, I'm actually in the power position, even if he gives me the hand tug, because I'm in what's called the left of picture, right? So if I'm here and he did not hand tug me, I'm on the left side of the picture if it were to be developed. This is the position of power. Political leaders know about this. From now on in your newsletters, when you guys receive awards, this is your move right here. And if you're not sure, just know you literally have the hand on top. You have the upper hand. You have the upper hand in this picture. Now, if he were to give me that hand tug, I could simply do this. And now who's in power? Me. He totally looks like I made him my bitch, right? I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that today. So is that okay?
In this crowd, that's
okay. In this crowd, it's okay. He just did one of these on the palm of my hand. That was creepy, sir. That's weird. That's crazy. I'm a married woman. Sit down, tiger. Sit down. All right. Married, three sons. I have a newborn that's with me. I have a little 4-month-old and I have an 18-month-old. Have you ever thought you knew somebody, you met someone for the first time and you had them all figured out? Have you ever had those moments where you were totally proven wrong? You're like, I know with absolute smart bomb certainty that I am right with this situation. And you were totally wrong? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever met someone and you're like, wow, they're really, really nice. They're like, hi, come on in. I'm so happy you're here. And they walk out of the room and you say to your coworker, phony. And your coworker's like, what are you talking about? And you're like, biggest phony. She was friendly. She was nice. No, she's a phony. And about 4 hours later, your coworker goes, yeah, I get what you're saying now. But you picked up on it right away. Have you ever had those moments? So without saying a word, we can sense if people are keeping it real or not. And we know that sometimes we can be wrong. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes we're wrong. So for me, when I was pregnant with my third son, Charlie, I knew my mom's fighting breast cancer. And so I'm a prayer person. If anyone's fighting any cancers or illness here, or your family members, know I'll include you in my prayers, whether you believe in God or energy or earth. I'll send love your way because miracles happen every day you're here on this planet. My mother was given 3 months to live by Mass General. That was over 3 years ago. So miracles happen every day you're here. Thank you. When I was pregnant and just before I hit that 4 month mark, 5 month mark, where you can see the ultrasound, I knew I was getting a girl this time. I have Angus, who's 8. I have Charlie, who's now 18 months, but he was about 6 or 7 months, four or five months. They're 14 months apart. And I go into the ultrasound, and had you been there, you would have seen my son Angus, the oldest, playing on his iPad in the corner at the ultrasound place, a game called Minecraft. Barely paying attention. My husband, had you been there, you would have seen him standing over my left shoulder, waiting for the news. I know I've been calling her baby Lorraine after my mother. There's no way my mother's going to be fighting cancer and God's not going to give me a little baby girl, I thought to myself. And I looked on the ultrasound, and had you been in that room, you might have seen what I saw. I looked at the ultrasound technician, and I said, is there any reason why my daughter Lorraine has a gigantic penis? There you have it. I was totally wrong. For months on end, I felt that this pregnancy was different. I knew with absolute smart bomb certainty that this time I was having a girl. The pregnancy was different. It just felt different, and I was wrong. Sometimes we're wrong, and I'm going to prove to you today it's not your fault. When you are wrong, it's not your fault. Our brain is going to play tricks on us, and I will prove that to you today. So I'm going to have you guys scoot back like 2 feet. I need two female volunteers. All right, so right up here, 1, 2. Come on up. Hustle up. Round of applause as they make their way up. I'm going to have you, Stuart, thanks for coming out. I'm going to have you sit, move your chair here so this part of the crowd could see you. Would that be nice? Would that be helpful to you guys? Yes? Great. All right, women, I'm going to show you what I want you to do. Go stand next to Stuart for me. Thank you for coming up. Thank you. I'm Janine. Daisy? Hi, Daisy. What a great name. Hi. And you are?
Jackie.
Jackie, great. Twice as likely to be remembered when you shake someone's hand. Twice as likely to be remembered when you shake someone's hand. Why are you waiting for someone else to stick their hand out to you? Don't you want to be memorable? Isn't that what you want? Aren't you at a program like this, at a convention, to learn skills to be more powerful? Or at least to look at the world in a different way? Extend your hand, say hello to people when you meet them. All right, I'm going to prove to you that the body and the mind are interconnected and can play tricks on us. So I want you guys to put your back right to the back of the chair for me. Great job, Stuart. Your back, right? Okay. Now I want my men up here on stage to cross your arms like this. Give yourself a hug. All right, women, I want you to come over. I'm going to, with permission, can Daisy put her thumb on your forehead?
Yes, she
is. Okay, I want you to put your finger right here on his forehead, either your thumb or your first finger, whichever is more comfortable. Okay, you're not going to allow him to get up. I'm going to ask him in a second to try to stand, and you're not going to allow him, just with your thumb. All right, same thing over here. I already got permission from Stuart. So, Stuart, we're going to have your thumb. Here we go, right? And you're not going to stand up. So, ready? So, make sure he does not stand up. All right, gentlemen, try to stand up. Go ahead, try to stand up. Try to stand up. Why can't they stand up? They're big, strong men. Want to know why? Because women have more power than they think. Round of applause for our volunteers as they take their seats. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good job. Thanks, Stuart. Appreciate it. All right. Our brain plays tricks on us. I just saw, before you guys walked into my conference, many of you are on your cell phones, text messaging, tweeting. You're like this. Amy Cuddy at Harvard University discovered that when you implode, you increase your stress and anxiety. You may have seen her amazing TED conference on TED.com with Amy Cuddy at Harvard, where she found out if you just take up space, you explode, or she calls it a high-powered position, you will decrease cortisol dramatically, about 20%, and increase testosterone about 10%. So you're increasing your confidence and decreasing stress. But what do we often do before we go into that job interview, or we're going to ask the boss for a raise, or anything we're stressed about? We are stand like this.
Oh my gosh, I hope she's going to say yes. Oh my gosh.
We get small, and not only do we get small, before those important meetings, you know what we're doing, men and women? We're on those cell phones. We're text messaging. Amy Cuddy did part two of the study, where she found out that people on a cell phone type device before a meeting are less likely, almost a third less likely, to speak up and share their opinion in a meeting. You have increased your stress and anxiety. You're much better to put your phone away 15, 20 minutes before the meeting. Talk to human beings. Posture up. If you are going to check your messages, check them on a desktop or, at the very least, a laptop. But being on that cell phone, what's doing? Everyone pretend you're on your phone. What do we do? What's happening with our chin and our chest? It's pulled in. Our arms are pulled in. You physiologically are changing your body. And we now know, thanks to Amy Cuddy, when you move your body, you move your mind. It is literally changing. I lost my little advancer here. Stand by. It's in my pocket. It was a delusion, America. Right there. Look at that. Huh? No one even saw where I put it. Right? Like magic. It reappeared. I'm going to challenge you to live life at level 10 today. Live life at level 10. I believe that when you live life at level 10, magic will happen. What's wrong with this picture? It's all men. Who knows what this picture is a picture of? NASA. What was happening in this picture? Apollo 13, right? So here are the heavy hitters trying to figure out what can they do with Apollo 13. Now, it's not just women that implode. We can see men imploding here, too. When stress and anxiety kicks in, know what we do? We implode. We get smaller. And guess what that does? Creates more stress and more anxiety. It's this perpetual circle. So the ideal thing to do is, when you're stressed, is to take up space. I shared this with one woman at an event, and she's a speaker as well. She heard me speak at one of these conferences, and she said she went and spoke to a religious college, a religious university in Washington, D.C. And just before, she was a little nervous, and just before she was getting introduced, she was backstage, and she was standing like this. And a college student, had you been there, you would have seen a college student, a young man came over and said, "Michelle, we're ready for you. You're about to be introduced." She's like, "Okay, I'm all set." Well, Michelle went in. She killed it. She nailed it. And after the event, a priest came over and said, "Michelle, dear, I want to shake your hand. I heard you were praying before you went on stage. A good Christian girl, are you?" She's like, "Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes." It had nothing to do with praying. She just wanted to decrease that stress and anxiety. I did it at another event, shared this tip, and it was very interesting. I was signing books. I sometimes have a book signing. I think I may have one here. And I was signing books, and I talked for like 45 minutes to an hour, and then I signed books for 3 hours because I want to answer all of your questions. I love this stuff. I want you guys to have what I have. My life's job, my job is to inspire people to look at their world in a different way, and it's awesome. And so I answer all these questions. So about a couple hours went by, and I heard laughing as I'm leaving the event in the hallway, and I went in, and it was their big luncheon, you know, with the big round tables. And I see one guy standing in the back with his hands on his hips, distance from everyone. I go, "What's going on?" He said, "Yeah, it's a comedian. The guy started off as a waiter, and then he actually went on stage after he spilt a bunch of drinks, caused a lot of havoc, and it's this comedian." And I go, "Oh, are you the comedian's manager? Or, like, who are you?" He goes, "Oh, no, I'm the next speaker." It went, "You, the comedian guy, and now me. So you said if I did this for 2 minutes, it would decrease stress and anxiety. I've been doing it for about 47 minutes so far." And then as I continued to talk to him, he did this. I go, "Oh, danger, knock it off." He didn't even realize he got small. He imploded. We don't even realize. Now, from this day forward, you can't unnotice it. You will notice when you implode. You will notice when you explode. Houston, we have a problem. The problem is not that there's just men here, quite frankly, because men tend to go towards one kind of job, and women can sometimes go towards another kind of job. It's very often when I speak to different companies, I may have a male-dominated audience, and I may have a female-dominated audience. It just is. Some of those are changing, like CPAs. In the old days, CPAs tend to be more male-dominated. But today, women are kicking up the notch in the CPA realm. Does anyone know why? Flexibility. They want to be small business owners. So women want to be small business owners. They want to have it all. They want to have a family, but they want to also have a career. So a lot of females are graduating college and going into becoming CEAs. CPAs. CEAs. I don't even know what that is. I just make stuff up all the time. So my college went out of business 2 years after I graduated. Yeah, hit Google, North Adams State College. It doesn't exist. I'm the dumb body language expert they brought in for the big event. We always hear this, and it's funny. I'm not a women's lib person. I'm not, like, anti-people who are women's lib. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm a tomboy from Boston, you know. God love me for getting paid for doing what I love the most, which is talking nonstop. But I always hear this, that men make so much more money than women, and I was curious to find out, is this, in fact, still true? And it's interesting. It is true. Men make a little bit more than women. Here, software developers, male versus female, men make about 4% more. Project manager, construction, men make about 4% more. Computer systems administrator, men make about 3% more than women. Registered nurse, men make 2% more than women. Elementary school teachers, the males make about 1% more than the female elementary school teachers. And human resources, again, another 1%. Now, you can look at this in one or two ways. See, men do make more money. Or you could be looking at this saying, well, it's not as much. I always thought it was 70% more or 30% more. But the bottom line is 4% or 3% or 2% over 10 years equals anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000. It adds up. Now, why are these numbers off? A couple reasons. One, in their mid-30s, a lot of women transition into wanting to have families and working less. And a lot of women tend to, after in their 30s and 40s, be less driven by the money, and they're driven by the quality of what they're doing. So they'll often go into a career that might make less, but is more fulfilling. It doesn't feel like they're working. And the third element is, women, we're not asking for what we think we're worth. So whatever you think you're worth, I'm going to challenge you from this day forward, add 30% to what you think you're worth. All right? So whatever you think you're worth, I'm worth about $115,000. Add 30%. Add 30% to that. I'm worth about $150,000. We sell ourselves short. Pretend you are asking for this fee or this salary for your daughter if you were to have a daughter. Or your mother or father were asking it for you. Add it on, because you know what? Women, we only, a third of women are asking for what we want, and for the men, over 50%. Watch this study that ABC did.
Take a look at this ABC News Behavior Lab. The volunteers were told they would be paid between $5 and $12 for their time participating in a study. All were offered the minimum. Take a look at how men and women differed in their reactions.
I would like the max, of course.
More than half of the men asked for more money, but only a third of the women bargained for more.
$5 okay?
Yeah. Why aren't we asking for it? We're going to start asking for it, right? Say yes, Janine. Say level 10. At level 10, we're going to start getting what we want and what we deserve, because we're going to start asking for it. If you are here in this program to make more money, to buy more stuff, I am not the presenter for you. If you are here to make more money, to buy more stuff, you might as well pack up. I'll give you a second and go to see somebody else. I'm not that speaker. If you are here to have deeper, more meaningful relationships with the people in your life, then buckle in. You're in for a journey. Because I am here. My job is to inspire you to look at the world in a different way. And the impact that's going to have is going to be immeasurable. You're going to love it. It's going to change your world. See, because at the end of the day, what it's all about is contribution. Contribution is connecting to another human being. It's connecting to another human being. Are you connecting, or are you out for the almighty dollar for that best job? At the end of the day, you'll make 10 times more money if you make it about the individual instead of about the actual dollar amount. We know for sure there's a 4-step process to communicating, and I'm going to briefly show this to you. I do a 2-week program, so I'm giving you a splash of what is out there and available for you. Right here, these roots of the tree are what's called intention. Dr. Wayne Dyer calls it intention. Another guy, Simon Sinek, who's amazing, TED Conference, has gone crazy viral, calls it your why. You know, what, not what you do and how you do it, but why do you do it? This is why great Olympians win the gold, the silver, the bronze, and what happens after they win? They go into a massive depression because they don't know why they were doing it. They knew what they needed to do to win. They knew how to do it, but they didn't know why they were doing it. Many Olympians fall into a major depression. Major depression. What happened to Michael Phelps? He won, right? He won the big thing. And then 2 weeks later, he was what? In the news for smoking weed and partying and falling apart, right? So right here is the intention. That's who are you being. This is when I call keep it real. Live life at level 10. I'm going to keep it real. I want you to promise to keep it real with me. Will you promise that? Say yes, Janine. Great. I love that the elbow pop is stuck. I'm loving it. That's good. It looks great on you. Keep it up. The next part of the tree is right here, which is body language. This is why body language is crucially important. It comes from your intention or your why, and then all of a sudden it goes to body language. Then the tree is thought, and the words or the leaves are words. So, thought comes after body language. If you're thinking, I hope I don't look nervous, yeah, your body language has shown up to the party like 15 minutes ago. By the time you think about it, it's too late. So you have to get real. Why do you wake up in the morning, and why should the rest of us care? Your body language will follow suit. Your body language will follow suit. However, we got to understand there is a perceived value with body language, so we'll explore that too. Even if you do something and it means nothing to you, someone else is going to add meaning to it, living life at level 10. These are my parents. My mom's a nurse for elderly homeless people. Talk about giving back to the community, expecting nothing else in return. That's her thing, is elderly homeless people. She says she never knows who she might be helping. Might be Christ, as she says. Irish Catholic. I'm kind of straight a little bit, you know. But born and raised super Catholic. Mom's super Catholic. I'm just Christian. So I won't say just, but I'm a Christian. So mom's super Catholic, says, listen, I don't know who I'm helping. It could literally be Christ. And so she's big on helping elderly homeless people. She's a saint on earth. My dad is a mechanic at a fire department. He works in Brookline, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. He fixes the fire trucks. I'm a blue-collar kid from Boston. I show you my parents, Lorraine and Charlie, because I grew up with two investigators. See, I ended up working for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm. ATF. My dad said I turned my hobbies into a career. Drinking, smoking, shooting. I don't do any of those things anymore. And it made sense that I would become an investigator because mom and dad were investigators, right? What do they say? My mother as a nurse says, where does it hurt? Scale of pain, 0 to 10. How long has it hurt? What have you done for the pain? What does my dad do as a mechanic? Where is the sound? Is it in the front of the car, the back of the car? How long has it been making the sound? When's the last time you changed your oil? They're all about asking questions. The magic of body language is really about being an investigator and asking powerful questions. All right, ask me if I've ever cheated on my husband. No. Do you believe me?
No.
Because this is a shoulder shrug. This is an expression of uncertainty. Have you ever cheated? No. Aha. Your brain says, I don't believe her. She's a liar. She's a cheater. Many people will stop here. But there's a three-step process to reading people accurately. And this is why I'm brought in to train the CIA and the FBI and powerful women here in California today. It's literally a three-step process. So everyone say baseline. We also call this norming. What is someone's normal behavior? When your norm changes, we call this a hot spot. Everyone say hot spot. Me saying, no, I've never cheated is a hot spot. I'm really happy to be here today is a hot spot. Here's the magic step that most people will never teach you. You want to know what this step is? Yeah. It's what I give the CIA. Are you interested or no?
Yeah.
All right. This is what I call due diligence. Ask a powerful question. So watch. Ask me again if I've ever cheated on my husband. No. We have what? A hot spot. Great. Let's take it to the third step because most people stop here. Did you see that shoulder shrug? She's a liar. She's totally a cheater. But you're not going to stop here because you're powerful. You're going to go to this step. So everyone repeat after me. Janine. Maybe I'm wrong here. However, it appears to me there's something you're not saying. I think my husband's cheating on me. My sister just called me this morning and told me her husband's cheating on her. I think my next door neighbors are having an affair because when their spouses leave, one goes to the other house. Does it make sense? Are you starting to see? Are you starting to be inspired to look at the world in a different way? Because when I say I've not cheated, many of us assume, aha, she's a cheater. But what it really means is there's more to the story here. It just means you have to think like a nurse, an auto mechanic, or an ATF special agent or investigator. You have to ask those powerful questions. This is where the magic happens. You're leaving money on the table by doing this. You tell someone, if you're in sales, and you say, okay, it's going to be $52,000 to get my product, and the person does this. Is this a good sign? No, we automatically think, what? Oh, time to negotiate. Well, what's your budget? We can work with your budget. What's your budget? We'll work with your budget. It's like $40,000 good? Like, would that work for you? Your desperation reeks off you like garlic. But really, crossed arms uses both sides of your brain. Your right brain, which is intuitive and trusts its gut, sees the big picture. Your left brain that likes facts and figures. When you cross your arms, you're using both sides of your brain. Think about it in law enforcement. You come to the scene of a crime, and there's tape, police tape. The detective comes up, and she crosses her arms. Is she bored, disinterested, want to be someplace else, defensive? No. We take the same move, put it in a different context, and you add different meaning to it. We're meaning-making machines. What do we think here? She's solving the puzzle. When someone crosses their arms, they're just thinking, maybe your price of 42, 48, 58, whatever your price is, maybe I'm thinking, huh, I should tell my sister to get your product too. Huh, I just had my best friend buy this same life insurance policy, and she's paying a lot more than this. I need to give her a call. Be careful of mind reading. Do that three-step process. Norming and baselining. See that hot spot or listen for it and ask that powerful question. Make sense? Say yes, Janine.
Yes.
Great. Be careful of mind reading. I'm going to prove to you right now a lot of body language is perception. I'm going to screw with your heads a little bit here. Watch this. In these video clips, you're going to see a couple of them. The first one is going to be a woman that does not help a woman who is passed out on the street and she walks by because other human beings are around. So many of us want to fit in with everybody else. Why do you want to fit in with everybody else? I spoke in Vegas to about 10,000 people, and they called my sister, Kerry. She books all my corporate events. And they said, hey, my headshot was me grabbing her chin, of course. And they called Kerry and said, we need a traditional headshot with Janine crossing her arms, like with a dark blue background, because she totally is standing out. She looks different than all the other speakers. My sister said, yeah, I think that's the point. Be careful. Our brain is playing tricks on us, and what you might do without the power of influence with others might be different if you were alone.
Unwittingly, these strangers have silently formed a temporary group with a rule, don't get involved. They're afraid to stand out from the crowd and won't take action if no one else does. This woman has clearly spotted Ruth, but she conforms to the rule and does nothing. Watch what happens, though, when someone else helps.
You all right? You all right?
Yes, thank you.
Sure, you look a bit...
Someone to put their hands together and then extend their two first fingers. Have them keep their first fingers around about an inch apart. Now gently circle around their fingers, asking them to imagine a loop of thread becoming tighter and tighter. Amazingly, their fingers will drift together. Ask someone to put their hands together and then extend their two first fingers. Have them keep their first fingers around about an inch apart. Now gently circle around their fingers, asking them to imagine a loop of thread becoming tighter and tighter. Amazingly, their fingers will drift together.
Let's try it. Look at someone next to you. I want you to take your two fingers like this, separate them by an inch. Have the person next to you tie, say, I'm tying a string tighter and tighter. I'm tying a string tighter and tighter. Imagine. Okay, if you hear my voice, say, when we say to someone, I want you to imagine, you begin to imagine. The actual movement of seeing my hand moving and saying imagine connects the brain with the body and your fingers will begin to pull in. I invite you to try this with family members, with people you work with, people at the conference. Do the chair exercise too. Remember, they have to cross their arms as you try to hold them down with just touching their forehead with one finger. Why do I show you these videos? I show you these videos because our brain is playing tricks on us. Our brain is playing tricks on us, and the same happens with body language. What is this movie? What is that? Oh, yes. It's my reminder. It's volunteer time. Both of you, come on stage with me. Come on stage with me. Come on stage with me. Round of applause as we bring our volunteers up. Come on up. Introducing me today. I'm so impressed. Great. Simply where we stand is changing how we are perceived by others. This game show, The Weakest Link, played in the United States for a couple years, but in the UK for over a decade. Researchers in the UK wanted to find out if where you stood matters on if you win the game or not. The answer is a resounding yes. Where do you think the winner typically stands? In the center, where Jeannie is standing. In the center. As a matter of fact, after watching episode after episode, this is how often the person in the middle makes it to the finals, 42% of the time, and wins the game 45% of the time. Now, what's your name?
Melinda.
Melinda. Everyone say, hey, Melinda.
Hey.
And what's your name?
Kate.
Everyone say, hey, Kate.
Hey.
Yeah, look at Melinda and Kate, because these are our losers. I'm sure not in real life, but in this game, you would both be the losers, my redheaded losers, in this game. The people that stand on the ends make it to the finals 17% of the time and win the game less than 10%. So, Jeannie, you're telling me I don't have to lose 20 pounds, 50 pounds. I don't have to get a new pair of glasses, color my roots because they're coming in. I don't have to divorce my husband or get a husband or become gay for a while or no longer be gay. Like, I don't have to change who I am as a human being. I can be authentically real me, and I can have more wins in life by simply where I stand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just where you are standing is changing how others perceive you. This includes standing in the frame of the door. So look at this woman right here. Look at her. Look how powerful she looks. Now step to the side. Keep going. Keep going over to the crowd. Go to the other side of her. Right there. Look. Now she looks like nothing. Look at that. No power. Her power went right down the toilet. Get back in the middle. I know you like it there. Go ahead. Go ahead. I can see it. There you go. There's the smile. Welcome back. Okay? Simply standing in the frame of the door before you go into your boss or a client's office. The assistant says, Bob can see you now. Michelle can see you now. Still stop at the frame of the door and say, hey, Michelle, is this still a good time? Let that person see you in the frame. This is called body framing. Wouldn't you agree we frame things that are valuable? We put things in frames that are valuable. Pictures our kids drew for us. A picture of you and mom or a picture of you and your dog you had as a kid. Or artwork that your kids have done or painted for you. You'll frame them. Or you went to a special trip and you frame things that are valuable. When you frame yourself, you are saying you are more valuable. Is it true or is it an illusion? It's an illusion. So it's true for her. She's like, oh, yeah, it's true. I always stand there. So it's an illusion. It's a perceived value. This is what's really great about it. You can start using it today. So round of applause as you guys take your seats. Thank you so much. I want to remind you, standing in the middle, 45% more wins simply by changing how you are standing in a group. Get in the middle. My son Angus is really cute. He had his first grade picture, and he stood in the middle. He's really tall, and he stood in the middle back of 10 kids, and the photographer said, first of all, I was one of the comb mothers, you know, where you comb that kid's hair. And I'm sitting there watching Angus, and I'm the co-mother. I'm getting some feedback here. I'm the co-mother, and Angus is standing right in the middle. And I was like, oh, that's my boy right there. There he is, to the other co-mother, who's not all that friendly. And I'm standing there, and I hear the photographer say this to the kids. Hey, kids, everyone sit down and put your feet together and fold your hands in your lap. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're asking my son to fold his hands in his lap? He knows about body language. At the time, he's six, right? That can't happen for little Angus. So I see Angus look at the photographer and then look at me. In his little teeny brain, I see him like, who do I piss off right now, right? So all of a sudden, the photographer said, 3, 2, 1. Had you been there that day, you would have seen Angus do this. That's my boy. Now, I don't have a picture of that because why? The photographer made them do it again because she wants Angus to be like everybody else. And when the picture day was done that day, I said, Angus, every time you take a picture, you do that move. I don't care if they take a second picture. I want you to be the best version of you. I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to be dad. I don't want you to be that photographer. I want you to be the best version of you because you're awesome. So pay attention. Don't transform your notebooks today. Transform your life. When you're learning these tips, go use them immediately. Practice like you play. Repeat after me. Frame yourself.
Frame.
To fame yourself. Great. This is my friend Jeff. Look at those pipes. That's fun to look at. Right? Now, let's look at Jeff here. He totally looks dorky hitting on these three beautiful women. Now look what I've done to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. So you tell me, which Jeff, A or B, which Jeff do you think makes more money?
B.
Great. Which Jeff, A or B, is more confident?
B.
Great. Which Jeff is more likely to get at least one female's phone number that night, A or B?
B?
Perception is our reality. It doesn't matter if it's true. Literally, where you are standing is changing how people are perceiving you. study was done at Colgate University that found out that if your body language doesn't match your words, our brain picks up on it. It literally is called an N400. I call it a brain hiccup. Your brain says, I don't believe it. I'm really excited to be here today. So everyone fold your hands for me like this. Say, I deserve a raise. I deserve a raise. I deserve a raise. I deserve a raise. You might as well say, listen, I'm barely working from this work from home thing, but if you have extra money, I'll take 30% more. The speaker told me to ask, so. The rule of thumb is the higher the hold, the more anxiety is told. It's not reality, it's perceived reality. The higher the hold, my product's really great, it's gonna transform your business. Yeah, I don't believe you. Thanks for coming in. Right? The higher the hold, the more anxiety is told. Make sure you have your power zones, neck dimple, belly button, and what I call the naughty bits. Keep those areas open when you're confident. Let's combine them into what's called the new body language and living life at level 10. Develop, decode, and deliver. These are just a handful of the techniques that are out there in body language and statement analysis that can transform your life and inspire you to look at your world in a different way. George Clooney. When you grab your chin, you're about to win. Why? Because we connect powerful people with this chin grab. Here, Steve Jobs is a young 20-year-old kid. Here are some other famous chin grabbers. This is my niece, Bella. Her and her two friends read my new book, You Can't Lie to Me, and sent me this picture grabbing their chin. They said it's their... Imagine if you knew how to be confident and how to detect deception when you were 10, how many ex-husbands you wouldn't have under your belt today. We started in my family even before Bella. We started at a very young age. This next picture, you're going to see Angus and baby Charlie, my middle son, who's now 18 months old. I had a C-section, so you see the hospital bed here. If you look closely in this area, you see Charlie's chin-grabbing Angus. That's right. Natural. Just happened through the DNA. I don't even know how it happened. Right out of the womb into chin-grabbing his brother. Steeple. Everyone steeple. When you steeple people, you intimidate people. So look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to need you to come in on time. Now do this again, do the steeple, and look at the person next to you and say, would you like to buy some Tupperware? I'm selling Tupperware these days. Wouldn't you agree this is a little too intense for Tupperware? You might as well say, hey, would you like to buy some Tupperware? Any interest? Selling Tupperware. Anybody? Any takers? Nobody? How about you, sir? You like Tupperware? Stu? Right? Understand, when you steeple people, you intimidate people. So you have an office bully, bring this out. Actually, you can bring out the handgun steeple. Do this one. Say, I love your idea, sir. These are the families of the steeples. The families, the AOK steeple, the basketball steeple, the traditional godfather steeple. Are you a tall, skinny candle or a short, fat candle? Tall, skinny candle looks like this. When you bump a table with a tall, skinny candle on it, what happens? Falls over. You say, I'm a pushover when you do this. So what happens when you bump a table and there's a short, fat candle on the table? Nothing, might wiggle a little. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. But it's not getting pushed around easily. It's not going to be pushed around easily. You can still be a woman and be in this powerful pose. Who's this woman on the left of the picture? Supermodel from the 80s, still a supermodel today. Cindy Crawford. Bam! Beautiful, powerful, sexy. Listen, don't listen to Nana and Grandma. It's 2015. The whole crossed ankles thing is killing your credibility. It doesn't matter if you think it's professional. It is perceived a different way, and you will have fewer wins at work that you can be pushed around easily.
India's largest private bank, ICICI Bank, has also made the cut, ranking high among the top 50 list.
Here are some powerful women from around the globe. In the video we just saw up top, if you missed it, there was a chin grab, there was a handshake, and then there was some chopping. This chopping means I mean business. Bill Clinton used to say, America, I want to listen, listen good. This sum of power was a combination of pointing and chopping. We now see alpha females. Every woman on this screen right here makes multi-million dollar deals. They get paid multi-million dollar salaries. There's an expression. The wolves can spot the wolves, and the wolves can spot the sheep, but the sheep can't spot anyone. They're too busy grazing. They're too busy. Their heads are down in their phone. They're not paying attention. They're not being observant, using their visual information channel, engaged, connecting with human beings. This happens in law enforcement, in the customs in Florida. One of the customs agents wears blue jeans on his break, and he walks around, and someone will walk by and say, good afternoon, sir. But he's out of his uniform. Why is he saying, sir? Immediately, that person who said, good morning, sir, good afternoon, sir, is brought into a secondary interview. Why? Cops can spot other cops. business, successful business millionaires can spot other successful business billionaires. And we can spot the sheep, the targets, the ones I know are going to buy what I want them to buy. The sheep can spot nothing. They're too busy grazing. Ask yourself, are you a sheep or are you a wolf? Look around today at the conference. Pay attention. Say to yourself, sheep, sheep, wolf, wolf, sheep. Look at the wolf right here. Look at you. You go, girl. Look at this one right here. Right in the frame of the door with that little Superman pop. You're working it. Interview in progress. Be careful of being too wolf-like. Do you like this position if you were in an interview? No. This is increasing stress and anxiety. You're much better to be at an angle when talking to people. Be at an angle. When you're directly across, you're increasing their stress and increasing your stress. Now decode. Briefly, let's go over this big one. It's a shoulder shrug. Everyone do a shoulder shrug. And look at the person next to you and say, I love your hairstyle. You might as well say to the person, what were you thinking with that hairstyle? My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and they gave her 3 months to live, and she knew it was the fight of her life. And so when she knew it was the fight of her life, something interesting happened. I took her down to a beach in Wells, Maine. See, mom is all about doing something for other people. She's all about helping others. And so I said to her, mom, I need you to pick up the biggest rock you can find, and it's going to be a symbol. It's going to be a symbol of you putting everyone else ahead of yourself. See, my mom has breast cancer in her left breast. A lot of caregivers get breast cancer in their left breast because they put everyone else's heart ahead of their own. So a lot of school teachers, doctors, people working with special needs or special disabilities will get breast cancer in the left breast. I go, Mom, you're in for the fight of your life. I want you to pick up this rock, and when you can no longer hold it, I want you to walk to the ocean's edge with Dad, and I want you to throw it into the ocean, and I want you to walk back to me on camera, and I want you to say this to me. I want you to say, Janine, this year it's all about me. Had you been there that day, you would have seen my mother hold it up over her head, and she held it up until that little stinker was like 10 minutes. I'm like, wrap it up. I was exhausted watching her tenacity up there. She walked down to the edge, and had you been with mom and dad or bystander, you would have seen mom throw it in the ocean, walk back to me and say this, this year is all about me, I guess. You can't unnotice something. When she did that shoulder shrug, it killed her message. It sent a message to me. She didn't believe what she was saying. When you see this behavior, when you see these hot spots, you have to do due diligence. You have to say, maybe I'm wrong here, but it appears to me, seems to me, looks to me that there's more to the story here. There's more to the story here. Right here, this is some shoulder shrugging. Look, watch A-Rod really quickly here up in this corner. It's hard to see with that light on. We kill the light, Terry, for a second. Watch, we're then going to go down here to John Edwards. It does not mean someone's lying. It just means they're holding something back from you. You're holding something back. These micro-expressions, happiness, sadness, fear, surprise, anger, contempt, and disgust, they reveal more than you think. The only scientific proven body language are these micro-expressions. Everyone pull your lips in tight. When we don't like what we see or hear, our lips disappear. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you sat next to me today. I'm so glad you sat next to me today. This other move, contempt. Contempt is the kiss of death. Everyone do this smirk. The number one tell that someone is deceptive of you or thinks they're better than you or thinks their idea is better than yours. Contempt is moral superiority. So everyone do contempt. Let me see it. Yeah, sure, I'll help you. Yeah, why would I cheat on you? I'd have to be stupid to do something like that. Cheater, liar, right here. Contempt. Watch A-Rod lead contempt when lying to Katie Couric.
For the record, have you ever used steroids, human growth hormone, or any other performance-enhancing substance?
No.
Did you see it? He then comes out later, a couple months later, and says, in fact, he lied to Katie Couric, he had taken steroids. Deliver. It's simple. Ask these powerful questions. Maybe I'm wrong here. However, it appears to me there's more to the story. We go back to me talking about, have I ever cheated on my husband? And I did that shoulder shrug, that uncertainty shrug. Another tip with words is be careful of saying don't. We walk around and we say, don't forget to fax this out. Don't forget to email me. Don't forget to lock the front door. We don't hear what comes after the word don't. Don't worry about it. I got it taken care of. What are you saying to the client? Worry about it. Flip your script. This is a hostage negotiation tool. I talk in my longer keynotes. I would talk about this for about 20 minutes. Understanding the power of don't. Chris Angel used don't with Oprah and got Oprah to reveal 1 to 100 what number she was thinking by saying, don't help me, Oprah, don't help me. And when he said the number 11, Oprah's eyebrows went up.
and the micro expression opened wide and open wide. The power of don't. Flip your script. Look at your websites, wherever you say. Don't forget. Don't feel pressure. Don't you want blah, blah, blah. Make sure it's saying whatever you want. Don't. Your eye sockets will begin to bleed out of the back of your head. I began with the program of understanding, why do you wake up in the morning and why should anyone else care? What is your intention? Because everything else follows suit. We will smell your phoniness from a mile away if you're not being authentic to what you believe. And if you don't know what you believe, figure out what you believe. Go on TED. Watch inspirational, motivational talks. Be inspired to look at the world in a different way. Because we say more than we think. Live life at level 10. When you can, miracles happen. I want to introduce you to my VIP star, my mother, Lorraine Driver, as my final goodbye. Had you been in Wells, Maine that day, you would have seen magic happen when she came alive. And I said, Mom, do what you always taught us, live life at level 10. She started yelling at strangers, looking at her on the beach. She goes, it's not about you, it's not about you. She told me that night when she went to bed, boy, Janine, I really needed that. I really needed it. Because in our family, anytime someone's gotten cancer, it was always a death sentence. I really needed you to notice it and to tell me that you noticed it. If you ever complimented my mother, she would always say, thank you for noticing, and thank you for telling me. Now, I end the story in a sad note somewhat because my mother was given a couple months to live, and she passed away about a year and a half ago now, and I miss her every day. But I hit the jackpot with Mom, because not only was she extraordinary and taught me the importance of living life at level 10, she taught me about inspiring people to look at the world in a different way by asking powerful questions. Hopefully, I've inspired you guys to look at your world in a different way today. I don't end with the mom passing away. I end with this. As an Irish Catholic kid growing up in Boston, the Catholics, we have this fun tradition. It's called a wake. We dress you all up, the dead person, in fancy clothes that you wore once to a wedding, typically. We get your hair and makeup done. You look fabulous, and your family and friends come, and they witness you. For decades, my mother would say, after any funeral or wake we went to, my mother would say, you know, it's a shame the dead can't thank the living for coming. And my two younger sisters and I and Dad would say, what are you talking about? She goes, if I ever die one day, I want a casket that allows me to sit up in my casket and say, thank you for coming. Bob Barr, thank you for coming. Well, that would be impossible unless you're my mother. It's not impossible for people who live a life at level 10. They are the wolves. They can spot the wolves and they can spot the sheep because they're paying attention to what's happening in front of them. Are you paying attention to what's happening in front of you? Because my mother did the impossible. After she passed away, she created a system that allowed her to say to every person there, thank you for coming. See, 8 weeks before she passed away, Mom did something interesting. She went to that beach that I had taken her to with that rock. And she grabbed about 300 stones. And for the last 8 weeks of her life, she wrote out her favorite expressions. Good, better, best, never let them rest. Make your good, better, and your better, best. Happy is the one the rain falls on. Love, kindness, gentleness. It was the best wake people had ever been to. They were coming up to my sisters and I saying, hands down, best wake I've ever been to. Hands down. everyone was talking about the stones. Do you know why Lorraine said happy is the rain, the one the rain falls on? Let me tell you that story. People stayed for 3.5 hours. There were about 500 people there. The police had to come in to direct traffic because my mother spent her life contributing to the world, inspiring them to look at their world in a different way and expected nothing in return. I challenge you, no matter what brought you into this room today, look at your world in a different way. If I've inspired you to somehow do that, then I've done my job. My name's Janine Driver. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
We'll let you know that Jean will be signing her book in the exhibit hall at 12:30, so please stop by there. Thank you. Let me tell you that I'm up here a little bit nervous because there was about a 3-paragraph introduction for this particular session. I practiced it. I was careful. I took it seriously. My dog knows this better than I do. I get up here and I meet Janine. Forget it. I love the fact that she and I both agreed in about 20 seconds. Too stiff, too formal, we don't need it, let's just be people. So I love that about her, and I think part of it was she heard that I kept mispronouncing Nancy Grace, one of the media people that she works with, as Nancy Drew, and I, you know, there's only so much you can do. So, you know, we decided, I even had everything on my iPad, I was really hip. Anyway, do what I can. Please feel free to tweet. Love tweeting. You know, let people know what you're doing, what you're thinking about this session. And enough about me. Not really. I'll talk to you as much as you want. But this isn't my venue, so let's watch a short video and hear from Anderson Cooper and Dr. Oz. See what they have to say about this remarkable woman. And I'll let you enjoy this incredible presentation. Thank you very much.
All of a sudden you say something and my face stays here but my body shifts away. Right? Subconsciously, I want out. I face an exit. Yeah. So I want out. I'm done with you, Tony.
Disgust is this. My nose is wrinkled. Mm-hmm. And that, you can't hide.
Okay, so what is a body language educator and where does that come from, this idea?
Well, I'm a body language expert. What I mean by that is I've trained with Dr. Paul Ekman, Dr. Mark Frank, some of the leading psychologists. I've used these skills that psychology has explored. What do different gestures mean, body language.
And how people react to this.
I like you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Janine, for more information out about her book, You Say More Than You Think, go to WendyShow.com, and everybody in the studio audience is going home with a copy.
He said, I don't really talk to the person. He knows her name is Celia, and now he's saying, I don't even know the person. This is called distancing language. This is what people do when they don't want to be associated to the lie that they're about to tell you or the crime that they committed. They'll say the person or the child or that woman because it's creating distance.
Janine Driver, force of nature. What is the funniest thing that men do that they don't know they do?
They check out their fingernails.
So they check out their fingernails?
Yes, yes. Before they go on a date, if they really like a woman, what they'll do is they'll check out, make sure that their cuticles look great and their fingers look wonderful. Isn't that funny?
That is weird. Okay, what do women do?
So women will play with our hair subtly, you know.
Yeah.
We might touch our thigh. We'll sexily, like, uncross our legs.
Right.
Right, not Sharon Stone-ish, but, you know. But we'll uncross our legs.
If actions speak louder than words, then what are you saying with your body? Well, in her new best-selling book, You Say More Than You Think, former investigator Janine Driver says you can change the way you're perceived and get what you want using her 7-day new body language plan. Janine, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Good to have you here. Now, during your 16 years of investigative training, you had high security clearances. How difficult was it to perceive what somebody's body language would mean?
It can be really challenging. For me, I'm throwing you in jail, or I'm teaching cops how to tell if that guy's lying. I can't do it because you touch your nose, say, to the judge, he touched his nose, he's lying, or put his hand in his pocket, he's lying. So it's all about baselining, and what is someone's baseline, and you're looking for when someone deviates from that baseline.
Boardroom meeting, let's go to this. So this is some interesting stuff here. You're talking about steepling.
Yes, so steepling right here, what we're going to see is this man is doing what's called a handgun steeple, which says he's about to kill her dead.
She doesn't even know she's got it coming.
She's doing a more traditional steeple where this is what we see Donald Trump often do in the boardroom.
Right.
By looking at this picture, we know without a doubt she's the boss. He is going to kill all chances of success. Look at these guys, very open, open, open.
So that's good?
This is the troublemaker.
He's bad.
He's bad, troublemaker.
He's bad.
Watch what happens now. So he's going to all of a sudden start talking, and he's going to be even more aggressive. When you see someone pull out this handgun steeple, we know there's more trouble to come.
Mm-hmm.
In a second, here we go. Look at, bam, palm down gestures. Look at this, pushing her away.
Oh.
Push, push, push. What does she do?
First he kills her, then he pushes her away.
She crosses her arms.
Uh-huh.
You have just backed down your supervisor.
Oh,
this
bad.
Move right here is the kiss of death.
Dead man walking.
And it comes to body language, looking for this deviation in the body language. A huge one is our belly button. I call this the belly button rule. We face our belly button towards people we like, admire, and trust. When you confront the liar in your life, and Dr. Oz is confronting me if I've cheated, all of a sudden, the liar will turn their body, give you what's called the cold shoulder, and their belly button faces a door and exit. Because subconsciously, they want out of there. This is
Are you guys
what,
taking notes down, by the way? This is good stuff.
I've dubbed this naval intelligence. Naval intelligence. Here's another one, shoulder shrug. And the shoulder shrug cancels their message. A definitive statement should never have a shoulder shrug. This is uncertainty. And when the two don't connect, the verbal and the nonverbal, you always have to believe the nonverbal. I train the CIA and the FBI how to get child molesters, gun dealers off the street, and it's the same skills that we're using with telling if our husbands are lying. Body language is important. Everything from the handshake to where you look on someone's face to how you sit.
Interrogators know what to look for when a suspect is lying. It begins with unconscious signals that we all give off when we're being deceptive. Interrogators call them a person's tells.
Everyone has a different tell, just like in poker. You figure out what people's tells are.
Janine Driver trains interrogators to keep a close eye on gestures and posture. Anything out of place can be a sign of deception.
We all know our tells of our children and of our best friends or our mother. And it's the same exact thing, but cops have to do it in a short amount of time with a stranger. People have the quick getaway, and usually my front row people that got here early like when I analyze these back row people with the quick getaway. Would you like me to analyze the people standing up in the back? Everyone say yes, Janine. All right, let's check it out, shall we? Let's look. Look for it. Some crossed arms. Look at this woman right here. If you can't see her, this woman right here has both hands. One hand is holding something in her arm. The other hand is relaxed by her side. You're keeping, what's your first name? Allison is keeping her three power zones open. Her neck dimple, her belly button, and what I call the naughty bits down here. Those fun parts. She's keeping them all open. It's a sign of confidence. So we've got that. So you're either important or you think you're important. So, yeah, let's start there. Okay, let's see. What else do I have?
I'm looking for a very specific move, and I did not see it in the last group, and I'm hoping that I see it here. Oh, bam, see it. Look at you, just saved my ass. What's your name?
Laura.
Laura. Laura is doing, for the people might not see, way on the other side of the room, she's doing an elbow pop. This is very 40s, 50s chic. We'd see Ann Taylor do this. Liz Taylor do this. She'd have a long cigarette saying, look at me, boys. So everyone, pop your elbow over the chair and look at the person next to you and say, I got this. I was going to jump in there. Not the best idea.
What?
Wouldn't you agree that as women, we sometimes undervalue our power? Wouldn't you agree sometimes we get this crazy talk in our head and we talk ourselves out of doing something that really is the thing we want to do? Wouldn't it be great if we could kiss those moments goodbye today? If you knew what you were saying without saying a word, and you understood what others were saying, and they could never lie to you again. Wouldn't that be awesome, too? Say yes, Janine.
Yes, Janine.
We put this crazy talk in our head. You saw my journey of weight sizes and hairstyles in that that video right there. Yeah, I want to say, when I go on these TV shows, I don't get paid to do those shows. I'm retired from law enforcement. I worked for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I was an ATF investigator. My dad said I turned my hobbies into a career. Drinking, smoking, shooting. I don't do any of those things anymore. And we put crazy thoughts in our head. And you saw my journey. I don't get paid to do that. See, my job is to inspire you to look at the world in a different way. And imagine the impact that's going to have on your life when I'm able to do that for you today. To inspire you to look at your world in a different way. And whatever that means for you, it's going to mean for you. You think about it. Great, great companies. If you haven't seen this TED Talk by an amazing man named Simon Sinek, I challenge you to take the time to go to TED.com. Listen to what Simon Sinek has to say. Because great companies lead with what is it they're all about. Not what. Why do they do what they do? Not what and how. Why do you do what you do? What is your why? Why do you wake up in the morning and why should the rest of us care? It's being translated in your body language. It's showing up how you show up to work. Have you ever met someone at work and they're very, very friendly and they're like, hi, come on in, nice to see you. We've been looking forward to having you here. And the person walks away and you look at your friend and you go, phony. Have you ever had those moments where you can spot a phony a mile away? That introduction, like the fancy read it off my website, that wasn't going to work for me because I believe in keeping it real, and I'm going to challenge you guys to keep it real. That means I might swear a little bit every now and then. It sneaks out. I'm a Boston girl, so it's not my fault, right? It's not my fault. We were swearing people. My mom has breast cancer. My mother, God love her. She's invincible. By the way, I'm a prayer person, and I don't push prayer on others, but whether you believe in God or the universe or energy or whatever your thing is, I'm a prayer person, and my mom's fighting breast cancer, so I'll pass along my prayers and good energy to you guys if you have members in your family or you yourself are fighting a battle. Know that miracles are created every day we're on this earth. My mother was given 3 months to live over 3.5 years ago, so miracles happen. Mom always raised me to live life at level 10, but level 10 is great. It's kind of a concept, but is it really reality? You saw me going up and down in my weight. That's part of body language. I'm known as like the chunky or the fat body language expert. What's the girl, the fat one? And I just gave birth to my third son, baby Jack. 3 sons, thank you. He's 4 months old. He's at the hotel here with me, little Jack. He's been on about 160 planes since his birth, September 25th. I knew when I was pregnant, though, I was definitely having a daughter this time because mom's fighting cancer. You know, mom says, listen, this cancer stuff, man, it's not easy. If cancer kills me one day, I'm going to tell you what, Janine. I'm coming back to earth as a swearing person like you and your father. She wouldn't swear to save her life. So one time, though, I'll never forget, I called mom about a couple weeks after that conversation, and she answered her cell phone, and she answered like this, hey, what's up, bitch? I said, Kayleen, my youngest sister, Kayleen. She goes, no, it's mom. What's going on, bitch? I'm like, are you having chemotherapy today? Are there some fun drugs going in your body? She goes, oh, I wanted to try it out. I go, she goes, how do I sound? Had you been in that call, you would have heard me say, you sound fantastic. Think of all the years you missed out on. I knew when I was pregnant with baby Jack that it was really baby Lorraine. I was having a baby daughter with 100% laser, smart beam, smart bomb certainty. I knew it. I felt different. The pregnancy was different. My mom's fighting this battle for her life. I have to be pregnant with a girl. I already have two sons, Angus, who's 8, and baby Charlie, who at the time was only a couple months old when I did the two babies back to back. Have you ever been wrong about someone? You met them. You knew 100% certainty this person was a good person or a bad person. You find out you're totally wrong. The person you hated initially ends up being in your wedding is your best friend today. And the person you trust beyond belief, you're like, we have to hire this person. She's a fit for our culture. She's going to be great. Ends up being a disaster, and your name is attached to this virus you brought into the company. Have you ever had those moments? Wouldn't it be great if we could kiss those moments goodbye? For me, I knew I was having a daughter. So had you been at that ultrasound, we were calling her baby Lorraine from the moment I got pregnant, and mom was really excited. Everyone's excited in the family. Baby Lorraine's coming. She's got to have two older brothers. We went to that 4D ultrasound. They put it on a big screen like this. And my son Angus, 8 at the time, Angus is sitting there, and if you don't have boys, let me tell you, boys love a thing called an iPad. And they love to play this game called Minecraft. And Angus is, I don't get it, it looks like something that was created in the 80s. I can't even look at it, he gets excited building all these worlds. I'm like, yeah, it's wicked irritating, I don't want to ever look at that again. He's playing Minecraft, and he's totally into it, and he's on the iPad, he's not paying attention, the gel goes on my belly. My husband, you might have noticed him if you were in the room, right to my left side, ready for the news. And up comes the ultrasound. You would have heard me say this had you been there. Is there any reason why my daughter Lorraine has a gigantic penis? Angus looked up from his iPad, looked at the screen, and said, yes. I said, Angus, you didn't want a baby sister? He goes, Mom, girls are drama. I would agree. Angus might be onto something. We can be a little dramatic at times. I'm the oldest of 3 girls. Carrie's my middle sister, and Kayleen is the youngest. And we can be a little dramatic. We're human beings. And we can undersell ourselves. For me, I've struggled with weight my whole life. You see it in the videos there. I'm always up and down. My mother, same thing, up and down. And I got to tell you, after I gave birth to baby Jack, a friend of mine said, Janine, for our friendship, my job and my mission for our friendship is to inspire you to do something every day that inspires you. You've got to get the weight off. And I go, I know what, so I can be here to watch Angus get married and Jack and Charlie. Or he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I know, but my father's parents lived to 92 and 94. So I believe in my head I'm going to live to 94. And I have dynamite blood pressure. So I believe in my head I'm going to live that age. And he said, Janine, I'll be more than happy to pick you up tomorrow. We're in Chicago. His name's Mark Jacobson. And take you to an old age home here. And you see how many people are 92 and 94 and ask them how much they weigh. Or look at them. Are they at over 150 pounds overweight? Which is what I was at the time of the conversation, the third week of this past October. And he said, I want you to go up to your room and look in the mirror and literally look at your body. You're a body language expert. Look at your body naked and say to the mirror, I will live to 92 or 94 in this body. He said, because you've told me 5 times and I'm not convinced that you're even convinced. And I went up and I traveled with Jack. And had you been there, you would have seen baby Jack there and my au pair from Scotland, Miss Haley Bell. And I said, Miss Haley Bell, I need you to turn around because I'm about to get naked. And I looked in the mirror and I burst out crying. Because someone had told me years ago something that I hung on to that was sabotaging me. And I'm curious if you've been told similar things in your life that are holding you back from reaching your potential. See, if you don't know about elephants, baby elephants, they put a chain around a baby elephant's leg, and every day the baby elephant tries to break free. It runs in this direction and tries to break free, in this direction. Until eventually the baby elephant becomes a gigantic elephant, and a small little chain attached to a stick in the ground will hold the elephant in place. I call this a limited belief. A limited belief is something that once kept you safe and guarded, but is now holding you back. Do you know what my limited belief was? My limited belief was someone told me once, Janine, it's okay that you're 20 pounds overweight, because you know what? Your book is a New York Times bestseller. It's the only New York Times bestseller ever on body language in the world. It's translated over 50 languages. Buddha's a fat guy. Buddha's very spiritual, but he's super fat. Yeah, so guess what I did? Every time I gained another 20 pounds, guess what I did? I worked harder at my business. I would get up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I'd write a blog. I'd try to get on another television show to the point where I was at over 150 pounds overweight. In a blink of an eye, when I realized this and I had someone that cared enough to me to inspire me to look at the world in a different way. It changed my life. My job is to inspire you to look at your world in a different way. Since that conversation, the third week in October with Mark Jacobson, I've lost 64 pounds in 4 months. I weigh 202 pounds. I'm almost out of the twos, and I can't wait to get out of them forever. I keep looking on the scale. I'm like, 2 more ounces. They're gone. I call my husband. I'm like, I'm down 2 more ounces. I'm just eating healthy. I call it conscious living. I'm not doing any tricks. I eat healthy, and I go to the gym. And 30 pounds fell off in the blink of an eye when I realized I'm holding myself back. I'm going to challenge you, like that big giant elephant, to realize you have more power than you think you have. Your brain is sabotaging you, or your body might be sabotaging you. I'm going to prove that our bodies and brain work together. This body and this brain, it works together. Our body language is influencing our brain, and our brain is influencing our body language, literally in big, giant ways. So I have a volunteer. I have a guy, I guess, in the audience. Terry Moore got him for me. Where is he? Where's my guy volunteer? Raise your hand. All right, be confident. All right, sir, come on up. What's your name? Lan? Round of applause. Lan, come on up. Come on up. Hustle, Lan. Hustle. 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 Pick it up. Yeah. We're busy women. That's good. That's what I'm talking about. That was good. Nice to meet you, sir.
Good to meet you.
Hi. Take a seat for me. Oh, stand by. Hold on. There we go. Put your back all the way to the back of the chair. All right. This is a little trick. I'm not a magician or anything, but I'm going to show you how connected our body is and how we hold us back, okay? I want you to cross your arms for me like this, all right? And now you're going to try to stand up. You're going to try to stand up. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to just take one finger here. I'm going to put it on his forehead and see if I can hold him in place, even though he's way stronger than me. All right? So ready? So try to stand up for me. Go ahead. Stand up. Okay. Great. Who else is going to try it? Right here. Blue. Pretty blue. Come on. Hustle. Come on. Over here. Some stairs. Over stairs. What's your name?
Natalie,
get up here. Come on, girl. Oh, look at Natalie. That's what I'm talking about. Nice to meet you, Natalie. Okay, put your stand, sit back. Try to put your thumb right on his forehead for me. All right, try to stand up for me, Liam. Okay, ready? Sit back down. Do it again. Crush your arms. Did you crush your arms? Yeah, you blew it. Okay. Men, they never listen. Okay, try it again. Try it again. Okay, do this. Ready? Watch me. Go like this. Okay, yep, do it one more time. Use all your might, Natalie. Use all your might. Okay, yeah, but you were about to fall and get killed because she was then going to kick you once you were down. Okay, round of applause for our volunteers. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. If you aren't able to see it because this podium's in the way, just know that by putting your finger, if someone is sitting with their back to the back of the chair and their arms are crossed, your finger can hold them in place. And they can struggle. That's the power that we have as powerful women. Our bodies, if you use them correctly and you understand how to apply body language, you can have big results. Amazing. Mind-blowing. I call them living life at level 10. Living life at level 10 is thinking outside the box, breaking some of these chains that we've created, these limited beliefs about how much value we have. There are many, many powerful women out there. What's wrong with this picture? What do you notice about it? There's no women. Does anyone know when this picture was taken? What is this incident? Okay, this is Apollo, right? So this is the big Apollo. Now, look it. There's all men, but men have closed body language. It's not just women have closed body language when we get small. Men have closed body language when they're stressed. You know what we do when we're stressed, ladies? We do this. So everyone grab your throat. Look at the person next to you and say, I'll take care of this on Monday. Yeah. I don't want you running my company anymore or my business, right? Would you? Are you going to hire this person? I'm going to be a great assistant for you. You're going to love me. Yeah, not so much. Not believing that. Now, let's do a quick fix. Would you like to see a quick fix? All right, here we go. So everyone say yes, Janine.
Yes, Janine.
Thank you. It makes me a better mother. My mother always says, why do you make them say yes, Janine? I go, because I have 3 sons and they don't listen to me. No one says yes, Mom, or yes, dear. So I make my audience do it and I go home better parent. So thank you. My husband and my 3 sons, Angus, Charlie, and Jack, all thank you. Now grab your chin. Look at the person next to you and say, I'll take care of this on Monday. Look how smart you became in seconds. Repeat after me. When you grab your chin, you're about to win. Wait a minute, Janine. You're telling me I don't have to go get my PhD or my master's or lose weight. I can just do this and be seen as more powerful. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. So this is go. You can't unnotice something. So if you're grabbing your throat, which you will do in stress and anxiety, you know what the men do? They do this one. Yeah, okay, I'll take care of that on Monday. You're a total pain in my neck. Okay. Got it. Yeah, got it. You're a pain in my neck too. Okay, got it. Women, we like this one right here. When you notice it, because you will now, when you are stressed, this will indicate there's an increase in stress and anxiety in your body. You've got seconds to go from here and be like, oh, my gosh, the eagle has landed. The eagle has landed. My hand is on my throat. She said it would happen. I'm like, no, I never do it. And I did it the same day she said I would do it. The same day at dinner I did it. So go right here instead. It's okay. That sounds really interesting. Tell me more. Now, do I want you going back to your offices like this? Hello, everybody. I'm back. Hi. Nice to see you, Bob. Yeah. Nice. Hi. Hey, everybody. Hey, kids. Mommy's home. That's right. It's a new mommy in town. Wish I could tell you what happened, but it's a women's conference, and I can't reveal the secret. No, this is one tool to put in your communication toolbox when you need it. Know that it means nothing. It is an illusion. It is an illusion. Some of body language is simply an illusion. It is perceived a certain way. So for the people that are in here, because your friend said, hey, come see this speaker. She was wicked funny, and they were at the last event, and you're like, oh, I don't really believe in body language, and you're here anyway. Well, great. I'm glad you don't believe in body language, because almost all of body language is an illusion. There's no scientific study that says this means you're powerful. Some people may say when you do that, you look arrogant. It's just a perceived value. Now, there is some certainty with body language that we'll also explore. 7 universal emotions: happiness, sadness, fear, surprise, anger, contempt, and disgust. We're going to go over a couple of those today. I have a whole 2-week program I do at the Body Language Institute, so you're getting just a splash in a 1-hour little snippet. And hopefully, I will inspire you to look at the world in a different way when you learn what you're about to learn. Houston, we have a problem. Now, I always hear about this. Now, I'm not anti-women's lib, but I'm not like a woman lib kind of girl. It's just not my thing. I like guys to open the door for me. I like them to buy me crap. You know, I don't know. I'm a blue-collar kid from Boston. I grew up super poor. When a guy is a gentleman, it works for me. I'm like, that was fantastic. If a guy reaches out and shakes his hand or sends me a handwritten thank you note, I like that. I like that for me. Now, everyone is different, and I will attract people who believe what I believe. So I believe there's a place for all of us. I also believe a lot of information is false that's out there. Do you believe that? You always hear these studies. I remember hearing a study about Harvard or Yale that they followed 2 groups of people. One group wrote down their goals. They became CEOs and owned their own companies and became multimillionaires. The other group did not write down their goals. They went from job to job, barely could keep a job. Some moved home with their parents, live in the basement of their parents' house. They didn't write down. Yeah, that study never existed, as an FYI. But guess what? One book after another quotes that other person's book. You write about it in your book. I write a book. I quote your book. You quote my book. And now all of a sudden it's reality. Not true. It never happened. Show me where the study happened. Can't be found. It never happened. They didn't follow years ago in the 70s. They didn't follow 2 groups of people writing down their goals. So challenge conventional wisdom, which I recently did. Everyone talks about women, right? So women, we're making less money than men. That's not fair. Really? Do you know that to be true? Are we really making more money or less money than men? The answer is yes, in some areas. Look at here. Now, a couple reasons this is happening. Number one, women will go into, typically, most women go into a different career. We're not often money-driven, where some of the men are more money-driven. So right here, software developers, both men and women, men will make 4% more than women. Project manager, construction, men make 4% more than women. Computer system administrator, men make 3% more than women. Registered nurse, 2% more than women. Elementary school teacher, men 1%, and human resources administrative 1%. Now, you can look at this in one of 2 ways. One, you could say, wow, it's not as much as I thought, because I heard it was 30% or 40%. It's only 1 or 2%. So you could look at it that way. However, 1 or 2 or 3% over a decade equals $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. This is happening for a couple of reasons. Number one, women, when we hit our 30s, we start to have kids, and so we start to want a shift in our career. We might work a little less or change our hours or go into a new career. Also, women, most women are not driven by money. So a lot of women, when they hit their 30s and 40s, they want a better quality of life. I get paid to do the thing I'm the best at, which is talk nonstop, right? Who knew? I used to, when I was a little kid, my mother would give me 2 pieces of gum and not my 2 sisters. And my sisters would be like, why does Janine get 2 pieces of gum? My mother would go, because she has a big mouth and she doesn't stop talking. Right? So women will shift into, we want a quality of life, so we might change our careers. Another element, guess what we do, women? We don't ask for what we are worth. Men will more likely, are more likely to speak up for, ask for more money than women. We just simply don't even ask. And then we blame society or companies, but we're not asking for what we're worth. So I'm going to give you permission today. I'm going to challenge you. Moving forward, whatever you think you're worth, if you have a pen and paper in front of you, I want you to write down a number of what you think you're worth. So write, what do you think you should get paid for the job that you do or the job you want to do? If you have a pen and paper, write down that number. Now I want you to write next to it, 30%. I want you to say, I'm worth more, 30% more than what I actually think I'm worth. Because you know who's doing that? The guys are doing it. The guys are doing it 50% more. They're doing it 60% more, and they're asking for it. I'm going to show you a study that was done by ABC News, where you're part of the study, and they say they're going to pay you between X amount of money, between this dollar amount and this dollar amount. And the men and women are all offered between this amount and this amount. They're offered the least amount, $5. We're going to pay you $5, but you're told you're going to get paid between like 5 and 12. Guess what? Over 50% of the men said, no, I want the most amount. I want the $12. And know what? Over 50% the men. The women, about a third of the women say, yeah, $5 is fine. $5 is fine. So part of our problem is we're not speaking up. Watch the study.
Take a look at this ABC News Behavior Lab. The volunteers were told they would be paid between $5 and $12 for their time participating in a study. All were offered the minimum. Take a look at how men and women differed in their reactions.
I would like the max, of course.
More than half of the men asked for more money, but only a third of the women bargained for more.
$5 okay?
Yeah. So part of it is our limited beliefs. Part of it is us getting out. So I'm giving you permission, after seeing this video, to be inspired to look at your salaries in a different way. Look at your life and what you think you're worth in a different way, because you may just get it if you speak up. That ability to get out of our heads and ask for more than what we may think we're worth. Now, if you're here to make a bunch of money and buy more stuff, I'm not the speaker for you. You're in the wrong event. This is not a sales training. You're at the wrong event. I'll give you a second to get your stuff and leave, and I'll bring you massive amounts of embarrassment as you walk out the room. Anybody? However, if you are here to build deeper, more meaningful relationships with the people in your life, buckle in, because you're about to go on a roller coaster ride. Are you here to make deeper, more meaningful relationships with the people in your life? Say yes, Janine.
Yes.
Great. Everyone stand up. You got to take the oath. Repeat after me. I swear to use the CIA body language program for good, not for evil.
And I swear
that anyone who had the option to come to see Janine speak and did not choose her as their speaker, screw them. They get nothing. Take a seat. Communication. There's a four-step process to communicating. Here are the roots. Ultimately, we want to connect with human beings. Our ultimate goal is to connect with human beings. Here's the roots. The roots are what a guy named Dr. Wayne Dyer calls intention. What's your intention? A guy, Simon Sinek from TED, will say, what's your why? What's your why? Why do you wake up in the morning and why should people care? If you're not familiar with this, you have to go on TED and watch Simon Sinek or buy his books because it's amazing. Do you know what? Olympic athletes win the gold and the silver and the bronze, and then what happens right after they win? They go into a massive depression because they knew what to do, they knew how to do it, but they didn't know why they were doing it. Think about Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps broke the world Guinness World Record, right? The most amount of golds in the Olympics. What happened 2 weeks later? He's smoking weed all over the magazine, right? It happens all the time. Why do you do what you do? Your body language will follow suit. If you just have your intention or your why, if you know what you are, you'll attract people who believe what you believe. You're never going to make everyone happy. So just be real. Because if you keep pretending to be someone else, you know what's going to happen? You're going to wake up surrounded by people that you don't like. You're going to be like, wow, I have a lot of friends and I don't like any of them. I have an awesome job and I get paid a lot of money and I hate all the people I work with. Because they don't believe what you believe. So just be you. Okay? Will you keep it real for me today? Say yes, Janine.
Yes.
Great. Let's look at this part of the tree. After intention or your why comes the bulk of the tree right here. You know what that is? Body language. Body language is second in communication. The tree branches here are what's called thought. So if you're thinking, I hope I don't look insecure or nervous. Yeah, your body language has been showing up for about 15 minutes as insecure and nervous because body language comes before thought. By the time you think about it, it's already there. You have to know why you wake up and why should the rest of us care? Because everything else is happening after that. Now, the tree, the leaves on the tree are words. Sometimes they're words, sometimes they're not. Walt Disney this past week came out with an amazing video where they surprised people in a New Jersey mall. If you haven't seen this, hit Google or YouTube and do Walt Disney surprising people in a mall. There's not one word said. You will be touched, moved, and inspired. You will be touched with the six human needs that all humans have. Certainty and uncertainty, love and significance, connection. You'll have growth. And ultimately, you'll feel that these people gave, expecting nothing in return. These big, huge moments, their kids burst out crying, seeing this unbelievable video. Are you touch, moving, and inspiring people when you're communicating with them? It's not just the words, it's how are you showing up in their life? Are you keeping it real? So everyone say, level 10. I want you to say it like it's Oprah Winfrey and like you're just about to win a bunch of free crop, right? So I want everyone to say it three times. Go, level 10, level 10, level 10, level 10. Great. We're going to challenge you today. Live life at level 10. My job is to inspire you to look at your world differently, and I'm going to be doing that. These are my mom and dad. Mom is a nurse for elderly homeless people. My dad is a mechanic at the fire department in Brookline, Massachusetts. Let me tell you what this means. I was raised by two investigative parents. No wonder why I went into law enforcement. Because what does a nurse say? Where does it hurt? How long has it hurt? What have you done for the pain? What does a mechanic say? Where is the sound? How long has the sound been in there? What have you done to fix the sound? When's the last time you changed your oil? They're investigators. Most of us are mind readers. I'm going to turn you into investigators, whether it's a CIA operative or a nurse or a mechanic fixing a fire truck. Are you ready? Say yes, Janine. Great. Step one is getting a baseline. What is someone's normal behavior? We call that norming. What is someone's normal behavior? Ask me if I've ever cheated on my husband. No. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Most people won't believe me because I did this thing called a shoulder shrug. A shoulder shrug represents uncertainty. A shoulder shrug represents uncertainty. So my verbal says no. My nonverbal says uncertainty. So I have a disconnect. They're not congruent. And immediately your brain says, wait a minute, I don't buy it. I think there's a lie here. And most of us will actually mind read, and it's not your fault. Your brain is programmed to work that way. And now you'll stop here and say, she's a cheater. Did you see that? She's a liar. I confronted my boss, and she said I wasn't going to get fired. Did you see that? She shoulder shrugged. I asked someone who took the money from my wallet, and they scratched their nose. Did you see that? We're meaning-making machines. It's not your fault, but it will be after today because you can't unnotice something. You're about to notice a lot. Now, here's the magic step. I call this the CIA step. This is the third step. Would you like to know what this step is? Say yes, Janine. Great. This is right here, due diligence, asking powerful questions. Most people don't make it to the step. This is why I had to have you guys say the oath. I don't mess around with this step. So here we go. Ask me, everybody. Janine, have you ever cheated on your husband? No. We have what? Say hot spot. Now we have this second stage. It's a hot spot. We have a baseline. This is a hot spot. Something just doesn't add up. We dub that a hot spot. So now let's go here. Janine? Maybe I'm wrong here. However, it appears to me there's something you're not saying. Yeah, I think my husband's cheating on me. My sister called me this morning and told me her husband's having an affair, and she just found out last night. I think my neighbors are having an affair because when their spouses go to work, they go to each other's house. See, when I shoulder shrug and you ask me if I've ever cheated on my husband and I say no, all this hotspot means is there's something I'm withholding from you. You don't know what the catalyst is. This is why I go into the CIA and the FBI and other people are not doing that. Because they're mind readers. Be careful of being a mind reader. You leave money on the table. You're destroying relationships instead of asking the questions. When you see that shoulder shrug, you'll always see it. Maybe I'm wrong here. However, it appears to me, looks to me, there's more to the story. You will then do due diligence and find out the truth. That's the magic. If you walk out of here inspired to do one thing with looking at your world in a different way, it's that. Baselining and norming, ask a powerful question and get that information. It will literally transform your life and your business. We are mind readers. Be careful about being mind reader. I'm going to show you right now about how we are influenced. Our brain plays tricks on us, and I'm going to prove it to you in a series of small videos here. In the next screen, you're going to see a bunch of videos. The first one will play at the top left, and then it'll go to the right and all the way down. That top left video, you're going to see a woman who has fallen on the street. She's laying there. It appears to be unconscious. And people for over 25 minutes on this busy road are walking by her because they are persuaded. We think when everyone else walks by, I'm part of that group, instead of just being yourself. Instead of being the best version of you, we get persuaded by the group. I'll never forget Angus. He's my firstborn. In kindergarten, he was a little guy, you know. He's tall, but in kindergarten, he's about, what, 5 or 6 years old? 6, I guess. And he took his school picture, and he's a little tall, taller than some of the other kids. So they had him in the back middle. There were 2 rows of 10 kids. And Angus, had you been there on that day, you would have seen I was one of the comb mothers. I have the little black combs. I comb your kids or your grandkids' hair, spit on it a little if it's up in the air. I'm one of those mothers. Maybe you've been one of those mothers in the past, or your mother was one of those mothers. And I'm sitting there, and I'm seeing Angus and his classmates. I'm like, oh, Angus. And he's so excited that day. He had a special turquoise shirt on, collared shirt. Doesn't normally wear collared shirts. And the photographer has the kids line up. Angus is in the back row. The photographer says, please, all the kids, please sit down. Put your feet together and fold your hands in your lap. Oh, no. That's not going to happen. See, Angus's mother is a body language expert. And Angus knows this is not really powerful with our feet together and our hands folded, even as a 5 or 6 year old kid. So had you been there, you would have seen something interesting happening inside Angus's brain. He started looking at the photographer and then looked at me. Looked at the photographer and then looked at me. A series of times until the photographer said, 3, 2, 1, smile. At the 3, 2, 1 smile, had you been there, you would have seen Angus do this. I looked at the other comb mother. She was a little on the snotty side, super rich. You know, she had the fancy shoes. Good for her, but super snotty. And I looked at her, and I went, that's my boy. Now, I don't have a copy of that video or that picture. Why? The photographer made him take the picture again to be like everybody else. Why do you want to be like everybody else? I'm here to challenge you to just be the best version of you. Don't become a Janine Driver. Don't become any of these other speakers. Just be the best version of yourself. That's really incredible. That's keeping it real, not pretending to be someone else. This isn't sincerity. When I tell you this is sincerity, touch your chest. People will believe you're sincere. Really? We'll think you're a phony if it's not genuine to who you are, if it's not genuine to who you are. So what are you saying without saying a word? How are you being your best self? I remember I was going to speak in Las Vegas. And my headshot, as you might imagine, is doing the chin grabs, kind of my MO. Anyone who wants to take pictures of me afterwards, I'll do the chin grab with you. And I was chin grabbing in my headshot. And the client called my sister, who runs my corporate events, and the client said, hey, we got Janine's headshot, but we need a traditional headshot of Janine, maybe with her arms crossed, with a navy blue background. You know, because Janine right now is going to stick out like a sore thumb. She doesn't look like any of the other speakers in our catalog. My sister said, yeah, I think that's the point. That is Janine's professional headshot. Why do you want to be swayed to be like everybody else? Break that chain that little baby elephant has that kept you safe at one point, now is holding you back from reaching your potential. Just be the best version of yourself.
Unwittingly, these strangers have silently formed a temporary group with a rule, don't get involved. They're afraid to stand out from the crowd and won't take action if no one else does. This woman has clearly spotted Ruth, but she conforms to the rule and does nothing. Watch what happens, though, when someone else helps.
You all right? You all right?
Yes, thank you.
Sure, you look a bit...
Someone to put their hands together and then extend their 2 first fingers. Have them keep their first fingers around about 1 inch apart. Now gently circle around their fingers, asking them to imagine a loop of thread becoming tighter and tighter. Amazingly, their fingers will drift together.
All right, let's try it. So everybody, take your fingers, fold them, put your two fingers apart like this, and the person next to you, you decide who goes first. I want you to imagine a string going tighter and tighter around your fingers and tighter and tighter. Go ahead. Okay, if you hear my voice, say, help me out. Awesome. The power of the illusion, what we think in our head, for me to somehow think that it's okay for me to be 150 pounds overweight and be a new mother and have a baby, as long as I was more successful as a businesswoman, it balances out. That's crazy talk. It doesn't make sense to other people, but it became my reality. It was true for me. And I don't tell you that to brag or boast. I'm just a different me. I never again will have to say, next week I'll start the diet, or tomorrow I'll eat healthy again. I have a niece that's allergic to food. She can't say, she will literally die if she has nuts. Die. She's 7 years old. She can't say, every Christmas I'll have nuts. She can't say it. Do you know what? When I started clean eating after I met Mark Jacobson, 30 pounds fell off in the blink of an eye. And you want to know what happened when I lost the 30 pounds? I dropped to the floor and thought I was dying of a heart attack in my living room. I said to my husband, call 911. I think I'm dying. And my gallbladder had failed. I just had a baby about a month earlier, and I lost all this weight. Lots of women who have babies, we lose a lot of weight afterwards, and the gallbladder fails. I went into the hospital by an ambulance, and the doctor, the surgeon, I was there for 6 days, and the surgeon said I was days, if not hours, away from dying. He said to me, you have ignored your body for at least 5 years. I said, 8 years, I've been sleeping with Tums next to my bed. I just said I had digestive issues. I have heartburn or esophageal spasms, whatever. I mean, you know, I have an MD. You know, we all have our pretend MDs. I created all this information. Listen, pay attention. Be careful of what you're saying in your head. Doesn't mean it's reality. I'm going to prove to you body language. A lot of it is not reality. It is perception. And literally, you could be putting yourself in dangerous situations or not making as much money as you could get, or not listening and paying attention to the signs your kids or your kids' kids are sending you. And they're right in front of your eyes and you're missing them. What is this song for? Oh, Jaws, that's right. This is volunteer time. Hands and welcome them. You are twice as likely to be remembered when you shake someone's hand. Why are we waiting for someone else to shake our hand? I just did an event a week ago, and I shared that tip, and a guy came up to me, and he got down on one knee, because at that event, it was 2 hours, so I got a little extra, so you'll have to have me back for another hour next year. But I talked about body leveraging and watching how you're talking over someone, especially if I'm tall, I'm 5'9". So this guy came up to me at the table and got on one knee as he was talking to me, and I'm signing his book. It was a book signing. I literally was on one knee. He was on one knee talking to me while I was sitting on the chair opposite of him. And at the end, he said, thank you, Janine, for answering my questions. I appreciate it. And he walked away, and the line was like 100 people long. And he came over. After he walked away, he said, I just want to tell you something. I would have never shaken your hand in a million years. I go, what do you mean? What would you normally have done after I answered your question? He said, I normally would have said, thank you for the information. Thank you. And walked away. You are twice as likely to be remembered. So extend your hand and say hello and shake someone's hand. Wouldn't that be valuable for you? Say yes, Janine. All right, great. You may remember this game show. It's called The Weakest Link. In The Weakest Link, people stood in a semicircle and they answered trivia questions. At the end of every round, the contestants themselves voted for one person to be kicked off the show. Now, this was only here in the United States for a couple years. The woman would say, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. But this was huge in the UK for over a decade. And two researchers in the UK wanted to find out if where you stood matters on if you win the game or not. And the answer is a resounding yes. Where do you think the winner typically stands? Just naturally. In the center. Now, does it mean that person's the smartest, the brightest? No, she could literally be the dumbest person on stage. One of you is going to be the dumbest, right? So right here, the person in the middle will make it to the finals 42% of the time, and they will win the game 45% of the time. Everyone say, ooh. Say, ah. Great. What's your name?
Parisa.
Everyone say, hey, Parisa.
Hey,
and what's your name?
Molly.
Everyone say, hey, Molly.
Hey, Molly.
Yeah, look at Parisa and Molly, because they are our losers. I'm sure not in life, but in the game, you guys would be our losers. Because they're at the edge, they will make it to the final 17% of the time. And they will win the game less than 10%. They could be the smartest people on stage. Janine, you mean to tell me that I don't have to lose weight, get new glasses, dye the roots of my hair that have been coming in for the last 4 months, divorce my husband, become gay, no longer be gay. I can just be me. I can just be who I am, and I can change my perceived value and have more wins in life by standing in the middle. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Literally, where you stand, it is proven. So we stand in the frame of the door. Wherever we stand, we are changing your perceived value. Round of applause as you guys take your seats. Great job. 45% more wins in life. 45% more. Everyone repeat after me. Frame yourself.
Frame yourself.
To fame yourself.
To fame yourself.
Great. Look at my friend Jeff. It's fun to look at. Look at these pipes. Total dork central. Watch what I do with Jeff. Hello, Jeff. All right. Which version of Jeff you think makes more money, A or B?
B.
Great. Who's more likely to get a woman's phone number that night, A or B?
B.
Great. Who's seen as more confident, A or B?
B?
Same exact person. Where you stand matters. It is changing your perceived value when people see you. So I call this body framing. Wouldn't you agree we frame things that are valuable? Pictures our kids drew for us, or picture of us with mom, a picture of our house we hope to have in Summer Village, Maine someday. We frame things that are valuable. When you frame yourself, you are seen as more valuable. Someone's assistant says, Michael can see you now, Susan can see you now, make sure you stop before you go in. Don't just walk into their office. Stop at the frame of the door. Hey, Michael, is this still a good time? Susan, is this still a good time? Make sure they see you literally in the frame of the door. They will perceive you as more valuable, more successful, and you know what the hell you're doing. It's an illusion. Research shows Spencer Kelly at Colgate University, he did studies that if your body language does not match your words, the person who is talking and communicating with you has what I call a brain hiccup. Whoop, boop, I don't believe it, but it's called an N400. It says there's something here that's not adding up. There's more to the story here. There's more to the story here. Let's go into level 10. Everyone say level 10. Level 10. Level 10. Here we go. Develop, decode, and deliver. Develop, decode, and deliver. Incidentally, the volunteers that were on this stage, make sure you talk to Terry Moore. Terry, where's my assistant, Terry? Terry's my best friend slash assistant today. We call her Slash, so she's a little bit of everything. My volunteers that were up here, make sure you talk to Terry. I'm going to give you a scholarship to come to the Body Language Institute in Washington, D.C., for volunteering, so thank you. It's $3,000 scholarship, so make sure you give your card to Terry in the back of the room. Round of applause to the volunteers earlier. We already did this one. Everyone, grab your chin. Everyone say, grab your chin to win.
Grab your chin to win.
Why does this work? It's an illusion. Steve Jobs is a 20-year-old guy. Powerful people grab their chin even under stressful situations, so it becomes an anchor that even under stress, you'll become successful. Even though it is an illusion, if you grab your chin, most people will perceive you as confident. Look at this chin grab. That's my 10-year-old niece, Bella. Imagine, and her two friends, imagine if you knew how to tell if people were lying or you had these confident moves when you were 10, how many ex-husbands you wouldn't have under your belt today. I'm just saying. We started even younger than 10 in my family. This next picture is a picture of my son, Angus, and my picture, Charlie. Charlie's now 18 months. He's one day old in this picture. You can see the hospital bed. If you look closely, you'll see Charlie is chin-grabbing Angus. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Right out of the womb, into chin-grabbing his big brother. That's my boy. Everyone steeple. When we steeple people, we intimidate people. So steeple, look at the person next to you and say, I need you to come in on time. You have an office bully, and they interrupt you at every meeting, push back from the table and just steeple. And every time they interrupt, just steeple, don't say a thing. Just steeple and look at them. They'll be like, I'm sorry I interrupted. And you'll get an evaluation at the end of the year. You became so powerful this year. You're like, yeah. I attended the women's conference. That's why. Okay? Now watch. Everyone steeple again and look at the person next to you and say, would you like to buy some jewelry? I'm having a jewelry party this weekend. Yeah. Inappropriate. You might as well say, hey, would you like to buy some jewelry? Anybody? You, ma'am? Are you interested in jewelry? I can see you have nice jewelry. Anybody else? the steeple kills rapport building. So if you are a CEO and a leader, good for you. I love the steeple. Understand it intimidates people. It is a tool to use when you want to intimidate people or be taken seriously. But when connecting with people, you might want to do this steeple, the basketball steeple. Columbo used to be like this. You smoke Marlboro Lights. The reason I am, and it's that likability, power, authority, but with likability, with likability. Here are some families of steeples. Look at this next video of a very powerful CEOs from around the world doing some powerful poses right here. Oh, wait, this is that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Tall skinny candle versus short back candle. What happens when you bump a table and there's a tall skinny candle on it? Falls over. You send the message, I'm a pushover. What happens when there's a short back candle and you bump it? Says, I'm not going to be budged. I can't move around easily. I might jiggle, 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 but I'm not going to be pushed around easily. You can be a beautiful, powerful woman and have this wide stance. This is a woman, supermodel from the 80s, still a supermodel today. Who do you think it is? Cindy Crawford. Bam! Smoking hot and powerful.
Chanda Kochar, who heads India's largest private bank, ICICI Bank, has also made the cut, ranking high among the top 50 list.
Look at those powerful moves, right? So what is she doing? She did the chin grab. She reached out and shook a hand, and then she did a chop. This chop is very aggressive. Bill Clinton used to say, America, I want you to listen, listen good. This was a combination of pointing and chopping. Chopping is the ultimate head. I will be taken seriously. Go ahead, chop it up. Everyone chop right now. Say, I need you to come in on time. Yeah. I need you to stop interrupting me. Thank you. In law enforcement, we have an expression. The wolves can spot the wolves, and the wolves can spot the sheep. But the sheep can't spot anyone. They're too busy grazing. Is your head buried in a cell phone? Are you paying attention? Are you engaged? See, cops can spot other cops, and cops can spot bad guys, criminals. And criminals can spot other criminals, and criminals can spot cops. Millionaires can spot millionaires. CEOs can spot other CEOs. Because wolves can spot wolves, and wolves can spot sheep. But the sheep can't spot anyone because they're too busy grazing. They're too busy complaining. They're too busy gossiping. They're not paying attention. Are you a sheep or a wolf? For the rest of your program today, I'd love for you to go around every time you meet someone and say to yourself, huh, sheep. That woman was a little too wolfy for me. This is a little aggressive. Right here, when you sit opposite someone, it increases stress for them and increases stress for you. This is better. Being at an angle will decrease both people's stress and build rapport quicker. You'll have better results. If you're talking to your kids, this is your go-to move, not this, because they're going to shut down and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Decode. Let's look at a couple of these moves, because we're almost out of time here, is this shoulder shrug I already talked about. Everyone do this again. And now look at the person next to you and say, I love your hairstyle. It's as if you're saying, what were you thinking with that hairstyle? These are seven universal emotions. This is a whole huge program in and of itself, but I want you to know it exists. It is the only scientific proven body language out there. Happiness, sadness, fear, surprise, anger, contempt, and disgust. It's created by a guy, discovered by a guy named Dr. Paul Ekman. If you watch that show, Lie to Me on Fox, it's based on this research. It is the only scientific-backed research on body language. Understand they exist. I'm only going to show you two of them. Wiener, when we don't like what we see or hear, our lips disappear. All right, so pull your lips in and look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you sat next to me today. Contempt. This is the kiss of death, number one tell that liars do. This middle expression, it's a smirk. Everyone pull in your face and a little smirk. Yeah, you asking me if I cheated on you? What kind of person do you think I am? Yeah, you're a cheater, right? So look at that contempt. Why would I take money from the company? That makes no sense. Contempt is moral superiority. You have to do due diligence. We don't know what the catalyst is. But in that moment, they are showing you that they are moral superior. Why? Does it make sense? Think like an investigator. Is this out of place? If they win a trophy, great. Moral superiority belongs there. They worked hard for it. But if you're asking if they are stabbing you in the back and they leak contempt, you might have a problem. Let's watch A-Rod leak contempt to Katie Couric when lying about steroids.
For the record, have you ever used steroids? Human growth hormone, or any other performance-enhancing substance?
No.
He later came out and said, in fact, he had taken steroids. He had taken steroids. So we wrap up my program. Deliver the results you want. I said this right out of the gate, the CIA. Maybe I'm wrong here, however it appears to me. Do due diligence with that three-step process to get people to tell you the truth. Understand when you say, don't stress out, don't worry about it, we don't hear the word don't. So you've just told me stress out and worry about it. Flip your script. Pay attention to the language on your website. When you meet people, when you're talking to your kids, whatever you do, don't lie to me. You've just given embedded command to their subconscious brain to lie to you. Instead, say, whatever you do, don't feel pressured to tell me the truth. Or whether you tell me the truth or you don't tell me the truth, I know more than you think I know. I'll prove it to you. If we're at a restaurant and I said, hey, everyone, look who just walked in. You're like, yeah, let me finish my story. In that same restaurant, I said this. Hey, whatever you do, don't turn around. Don't turn around and see who just came in. Your eye sockets will bleed out of the... Don't turn around! I said don't! Your eye sockets will begin to bleed. As we put it together, develop, decode, deliver. Know that you say more than you think. Some of body language is an illusion. It's uncertainty. Pay attention to, do you have that chain wrapped around your ankle? It may have kept you safe today, but it's time, up to today. It's time to break that chain. Are you inspiring yourself every day? Remember that tree. Why do you wake up in the morning and why should we care? And live life at level 10. See, when mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, she was given 3 months to live. And I took her to a beach in Maine. And mom did something interesting. See, I asked mom, I need you to lift a rock up, the biggest rock you can find, and hold it over your head. And once your arms begin to shake, I want you to throw it in the ocean. And I want you to come back and say, this year is all about me. See, mom is a nurse for elderly homeless people. She puts everyone ahead of herself. She has cancer, breast cancer in her left breast. A lot of caregivers, doctors, nurses, people who are working with special needs, have cancer in their left breast because they put their heart, everyone else's heart, ahead of their own. I had known this from research, so I said, Mom, grab the biggest rock, and then you and Dad, when you can no longer hold it, walk to the ocean's edge and throw it in and come back and say, on camera here, this year is all about me. Well, had you been there, you would have seen Mom pick up the biggest rock possible. And that little stinker held it for like 10 minutes. I was like, wrap it up. When her arms began to shake, Mom walked down to the ocean shore, threw it into the ocean, and Dad pointed to where it was, and Mom walked back and said, this year is all about me, I guess. What? Mom raised me to live life at level 10. I could not unnotice it, so I had to say, Mom, say it again. She says, this year is all about me. I go, level 10. She goes, it's all about me! Strangers begin to look at her. It's a public beach. She goes, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. She told me that night when I called her out. I really needed to hear that today. I didn't believe it in my soul because I'm so scared, Janine. Thank you for noticing and thank you for telling me. Anytime someone would compliment my mom throughout her whole entire life, she'd say, I love your sweater, Lorraine. She'd say, thank you for noticing and thank you for telling me. My VIP guest, as I say my goodbyes, Lorraine Driver, my mother. Doctors at Mass General in Boston didn't understand how she lived several more years. She passed away a year and a half ago, and I miss her dearly. And I don't end with a sad story because I hit the jackpot when it came to mothers. But I end with a word of encouragement. See, Mom always said, raised an Irish Catholic kid, she would say this at the wakes, it's a shame the dead can't thank the living for coming. You don't know, the Catholics, we do this thing called the wake. We dress up the dead person in a dress they wore, an outfit they wore, like to a wedding one time. And we put a bunch of makeup in hand. They look fantastic. People say they either look good or they don't say anything. And people walk by and say prayers and offer their condolences. Well, guess what? My mom said for years, it's a shame the dead can't thank the living for coming. And my sisters and dad and I said, what are you talking about, Mom? And she'd go, you know, when I die one day, years from now, I want to create a casket that allows me to sit up and say, thank you for coming. Bob Varr, nice to see you. Kathy Cook, thank you for coming. Now, that's impossible. It's not impossible for people who live at life at level 10, like my mother. See, 8 months before my mother passed away, eight weeks, something magical happened. She went to that same beach that I just told you about, and she collected over 300 stones, and she wrote motivational quotes that she always told us growing up as kids. Good, better, best, never let them rest. Make your good better and your better best. Happy is the one the rain falls on. Love. Kindness. And Mom wrote these, and every person that went to the wake, there was a sign next to them, and it said, I always wanted to say, at a wake, if I ever died, thank you for coming. Please reach in and grab one stone. Whichever one you grab is the one you're meant to have. It's my way of saying, thank you for coming. People stayed for 3.5 hours, 4 hours at the wake. They would come up, hands down, best wake I've ever been to. Brian, am I right? Was this not the best wake I've ever been to? Mom gave and expected nothing else in return. She was gone. At the end of the day, that's what life is about. Doing for someone else and expecting nothing else in return. I can't thank you enough for playing with me. My job is to inspire you to look at the world in a different way. And if I did that, then my job's complete today. My name's Janine Driver. Enjoy your day, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.